stand together if you'd like. Just bow your heads and open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so blessed with this privilege, Lord, that we can come and gather together. Lord, you've allowed us to have, Lord, like precious faith, people that believe as we do, Lord, and to be able to have fellowship and, Lord, just draw strength from each other. Lord, we never want to fail this. Fail, Lord, in your word, you've directed us to, even more so as we see that day approaching, to gather together. Lord, may it be important to us, Father. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to come. Lord, may you strengthen us by thy word. Father, and just clear our hearts, our minds. Father, as we sing songs, Lord, to settle our spirits down and prepare us for your word, Lord, may you just get the glory in everything we do and say. We love you, Lord. Just look to you now in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Turn with me, if you would, in our Only Believe books. Page, let's start on 141. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood. Amen. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood, Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing but the blood. It's all His grace, what He's done for us. Amen. Page 185. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Are you glad? Thankful? He paid the price. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord, amen. Sing it again. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord, oh, aren't you glad, amen. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought me out, amen. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would you be? Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord, amen. Sing that first verse again. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. I'm so thankful He reached down His hand for me, saints. Amen. Praise His name. Page 169. Oh, such a familiar song. I love it so well. Oh, wonderful. Oh, my heart sings today. Sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone. Peace is mine. Peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful and mighty. Amen. Oh, yes, He's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name's inscribed upon the book of heaven. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station, since my soul's received that full and free, amen. Oh, yes, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He.
Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Amen. Is he wonderful to you? Amen. Oh, I love him so much. Praise his holy name. Brother Hamilton, could you come up for the offering? Everything, he's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Hey, man, sing it. Oh, he's everything, he's everything to me, he's everything, oh, hallelujah. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother, he's everything. Oh, do you love him, saints? Amen. Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. He's truly everything to me. Is he to you, saints? Hallelujah. He's so wonderful. How many have something on your heart or a need or request? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love to sing these songs of worship and praise. And Lord, how the writers, Father, probably most of them has experienced something, went through something in their life. And Lord, come out on the other side only by your grace and your mercy. Lord, I can look in my life and see many times that Father, despair got me down, but Lord, your grace always reaches out, picks us back up, Father. Lord, and it truly puts a joy in your heart, knowing, Father, no matter what this world may throw at us and what we may go through, Lord, it's your grace that sees us through every time. Lord, the saints, Father, have needs and requests on their heart. We pray that you would just, Lord, put the bountiful riches of heaven reach down and meet every need. But Lord, may it not stop there. Lord, may we not be silent, Lord, and just, Father, just take things for granted. But Lord, may we praise you and worship you. Lord, may the joy be seen in our hearts. Lord, and tell others, Father, what you've done for us. Lord, many times we don't need to tell someone if they see it in us. Lord, they'll ask. Lord, and they see the joy in our hearts, Lord, shining through our faces. People will ask, why are you so happy? That opens the opportunity, Lord, to share you with the world. Bless us now, we ask. Bless the remainder of the service, that you may get the glory and honor and everything. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. I don't know. Would you have a song or something tonight, Karen? All right. Well, let's stand back up, if you would, and we'll sing a little chorus, Only Believe. We ask our brother to come. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe.
heads. Precious Lord, we count it a great honor and a privilege to be here this evening. And Lord, just so thankful for the precious word that you've left us. And Lord, a desire that's burning within our hearts to be exactly what you predestinated us to be. And Lord, to search out and to seek out all those things. And Lord, to ask you for revelation above all things, Lord, that our lives would truly be pleasing to you in these last few moments of time. And Lord, we've just humbly come tonight together around your precious word and to renew our minds and asking you, Lord, to stir our hearts and Lord, to give us strength for the journey. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all of the glory and the honor for it all. And we just ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, into our hearts to the hearing. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. And it's really wonderful. We're going to read out of Matthew, the 16th chapter, if you'd like to turn it with us. And pray each one of us are happy to be here tonight.
Amen.
And pray that was our desire this morning when we arose. My desire was to be here this morning, but when I arose this morning, I was thinking, our pastor's preaching tonight. But it wasn't God's will, so we'll do our part tonight, but I'm thankful to be here, and you know, we're just so happy for what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives, and how it should be pulsating in each one of us, and praying that tonight through the scriptures, and just rehearsing some of the things, and read these things, that it'll strengthen us and cause us to draw closer to him. But here in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and let's just start here at the 13th verse. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." But he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. What a day that must have been. And just to think of them gathered around Jesus after seeing all that he had done. And realizing as they were standing there and Jesus asked that great question, "Who do men say that I am?" And then for Peter to be able to say that and with a revelation in his heart. And God revealing that to him and Jesus telling him, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." And how, oh, I can imagine how Peter must have felt. Amen. And to think that that same God that was speaking to Peter is the same God that's revealing to our hearts today where we're standing and what we believe. The same God, he is just as real. It's the same word. It's just as inspired. And how it just strikes my heart with such a reality to think about that. And just let's turn back here and just read some little scriptures. Just these things have been on my heart and just thinking about this. But in the very beginning of the book of the Bible, in Genesis, just to think, as God sent a prophet in this age and in Christ as the mystery of God revealed, when the prophet began to speak and he said God had a threefold purpose and he wanted to reveal himself to a people. And think about that as in his great mind, is how the prophet so graciously by the Holy Spirit broke all of those things down so that we could see that we was one of those little dots in that little circle that's been drawn many times to show we were before there was a moon or a star or even a molecule, Brother Branham said, we were in the mind of Christ. And to think about that and God in his great being, and I can't even begin to explain it down to the measure that Brother Branham did and all the other great men that have a great vast knowledge that can really break it down. But just think about it in Genesis 1 in simplicity. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I want you to think about that little verse, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. As we see God beginning to start to roll out his plan And then he began to create, and just think of that, as he created the heavens and the earth and all that he created, the trees, and we see all of that today and realize that God created that. But to realize that as we stand here tonight as human beings, God reached down and picked up a handful of dirt and created a man, a body, to house that little germ, a seed of life that was in him before this world ever began. And in our due season, each one of us has came on the scene. And think about that as God revealing himself. Let's turn over to Luke, the first chapter. And just, I pray these things will just strike your heart in a little bit of a, it just makes me want to laugh. Amen. As Brother Branham preached the message, God unveiling himself. And to think that all of this happened. Everything that's written took place. It'd be Luke, the first chapter. But all of this taking place, and each one in their due season. Just think of the children of Israel standing there at the Red Sea. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And stretch forth that staff. And God rolled the waters back ahead of them. After all they had done, you just think about that. And that pillar of fire taking off right through the middle of that. And you think that same God is take the time, every service, every time we come together where two or three are together in my name, I will be there in the midst. Amen. Revealing to your heart, to my heart, Amen. Himself, to make it personal. To make it not a book that we just read or a story we've just heard. But it's becoming a personal, something down on the inside that's just pulsating. But here in Luke, the first chapter, I'll get there. Amen. He missed it. Glory. But here in Luke, the first chapter, and we'll just start here about the, I think I said the 28th verse, I believe, 30th verse, just to catch a little bit. Speaking of Mary, the angel had already had the kid come, and he says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. And the angel departed. I want you to think about this as God creating himself a body to entomb him, to house, and to send his spirit down to live with us, to pay the price, to redeem us. Think of, we ain't got time to go back and read it, but we know what God has so graciously revealed. And think about how great it is that that God tonight is sitting here with us, not only sitting with us, but he's in us. We brought him with us. When we arose this morning, that was who was on her mind. That's who was in our heart. That's who's just constantly thinking about him through the day as we meditate, and we're meditating on him, and maybe we listen to a message, maybe we read a scripture. It's God himself. Let's give us eye salve in this late hour to begin to see with a reality these things that have been left for us. And just think about that as that spirit began to quicken and put together that germ of life in Mary, that God created the blood cell, he created the sperm and the egg, and created a body. Brother Branham said he was neither Jew nor Gentile, but he was created the blood of God to pay for our sins and to wash them clean and to make the way. And God wanted to be praised. Think of it. He wanted to be worshipped, and how we see it taking place. But he wanted to reveal himself. He wanted people to see what he could do. They wanted that attributes. He wanted that worship. And oh, just think of what he's done, where you were and what he's brought you from. Amen. Sometimes we get so caught up that we forget just what he's done for us. And through that, sometimes we get a little stale, and we begin to feel a little, maybe a little discouraged, a little down, despondent, and it's just like, it's just going on. And it may seem like to this world that the revival's gone and nothing much is happening. Churches are going off this way and churches are going off that way, but there's a little bride that God is still revealing himself and opening himself up. that every day they become more like him. Every day they see the trimming taking place. Every day they see the growing and the overcoming taking place. God expressing himself in his fullness to that little bride. Let's turn here to Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. Romans 8 and 11, very familiar scripture. Romans 8 and 11, we've read this many times. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And oh, what a day to think as God began to reveal himself. And he said, I must go away, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. And he shall abide with you forever. And oh, just think, as he sent back the power of the Holy Ghost, his precious Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. And we see Peter begin to stand up under the anointing and begin to reveal who was this Jesus Christ. This man of Nazareth, a man whom you have taken. Just think of how God began to reveal himself greater. Here he was, he came and expressed himself. And while he was there, he revealed himself to a very few. Very few truly seen who he was. Truly realized the purpose for which he was sent. But oh, after his departure, he sent back the Holy Ghost and he said, go preach it to every creature under the sun. Make sure they know and break it down and show them. And I want you to think about that, God, and so perfectly as we were speaking about the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. And to think about how that the Holy Spirit has pointed himself out, a burning bush to Moses. Melchizedek speaking to Abraham down there underneath the tree as he began to speak to him and spoke about the secrets of Sarah's heart. God, look at as he's coming up through revealing himself. And just think about that. Here he come, John the Baptist preaching, there's one standing among you whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. And here come Jesus walking up to the water, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, ascending as the form of a dove, pointing him out. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Pointing him out to John, revealing him. And because he was the Word made flesh, he still had to come to the prophet to be washed as a sacrifice. God perfectly vindicating himself and tying it in. You can go back to the scriptures. You can see it from Genesis to Revelations of how that sacrifice had to be. We see it so perfectly revealed. And today, sometimes we take it for granted of what God has done for us. But do you realize if you sit here with eyes to see and a burning challenge in your heart and to realize that that same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead is dwelling in you and I today to quicken these mortal bodies back to the Word that God is revealing today. And we sit here today by God's grace at the last day and last decreed season, right before the appearing of the Lord. And we have the opportunity to see this great plan. We didn't come in the middle. We didn't come at the beginning. But we're standing here at the ending, seeing God unveil it all before us. Seeing him lay out his great plan and to realize that by God's grace, we are part of that chosen people to finish his work. And to see it completed, that he would prove to this nation, to this people, that he is Jesus Christ yesterday, the same today, and shall be forever. In you and me, our lives revealing that he is not changing, but he is the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. And oh my, he said he would have a bride that would be here today. And oh, he's revealing himself to a people. And oh, what an excitement it ought to place in their hearts. What a joy it ought to be to realize that, oh, of all the people, he's not revealing himself to everybody. Not everybody's truly seeing the purpose for which he sent the prophet in this day. They don't see the reason the word came, that it was to conform that bride to his image, to get her ready, to prepare her for to hone it down to this last day, that she would be a reflection of him and the very literal life of Jesus Christ would be on display again. His characteristics, his actions, his attitudes, the way he spoke, the way he treated people, brotherly kindness, long-suffering, joy, peace. Look at all that was laying there. Look at all that was in him. This precious word is laying here before us. We have an opportunity. Why? Because he chose you before there was ever a moon or a star to be here today, that he could reveal himself to you, that by him giving you the revelation of his precious word, it would bring your body under subjection to this word. Think about it. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn over here before we go. Let's go to Colossians back over here, we read this, but let's just catch it again. Colossians 1. Amen. Well, before we do that, let's catch Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and start about the 15th verse. And Paul beginning to speak here. God using his mouthpiece for our benefit. These things were written for our admonition. Think about it. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all of the saints, Ephesians 1 and 15, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in saints, and what exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which was to come, hath built and put all things under his feet, and gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all of our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about it. As we said here, and God is just pouring out his blessings on us. He's showing us his greatness, showing us himself. And even as we said here and hear his precious word, you can just feel him surround you with his sweetness. You can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his word. And he says, wherein in times past you walked, let me drop down, among whom we had our conversations as others, but God, by grace you are saved. We'll drop down to the sixth verse. And hath raised us up together and made us sit togetherly in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, we are his workmanship. Think about it. He's made the way. He's prepared it all. And he puts you here that in due season he would reveal himself to you in such a way that, oh, he would get the full preeminence of your life and my life. By us, the great love that we would have, that he had such a love for us, as our love goes back to him, as we surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And then Colossians 1, and start about the 12th verse, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Just think of it. You can't magnify him enough of how great he is. I want you to think of how he put this earth into orbit and place the moon and the sun and the stars and everything that's turning for one purpose, that he could reveal to you and I himself and make himself known in the riches of his glory to us, that he would show forth himself. As he goes here, he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And then dropping down to the 25th verse where Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Think about it. As Brother Branham in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed put it like this, paragraph 208. He said, here come Luther. And though he only preached justification, he pounded away at it in that age. He didn't know what the age was. And here come Wesley through, and he pounded his age through. See, a lot of outfalls come from it. And the other churches raising up. And then here come Pentecost pounding away, and they organized and went right back into death again. As we'll get to in a few minutes, right back into death. But then comes the revelation of the mystery to reveal that it's all been about. Where these little doctrines, the Luther brought out catechism and everything else, and Wesley brought this and that and the other, and these other things. And then Pentecost brought organization just the same. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptism and things, not knowing any different. And then come back in the last days and pick up all these mysteries and clearly explain it and reveal it, why it's all the last days when this great mystery that God had in his heart is being revealed. Do you get it? If you fail to come back to this tape again, I don't know how much longer I'll be with you, but remember, this is the truth of thus saith the Lord, and it's the truth, it's the scripture. Like the seven mysteries of the seven last seals. The mysteries of them, the seals had done been broken. Every age had come down, and there they had left a lot of scattering. And God willing, not willing that it should be scattered, he comes back and he picks up those things and those doctrines they started, and he brought it all out and revealed the whole thing. The same thing he's doing now in revealing the mystery of Christ, how he was God's threefold purpose to the church, for the church. Oh, my letting him out, reveal. The Webster says is to make known, and make known especially, Webster says, is a divine truth. That revelation means the revelation is Christ's way of making himself known to the church. And now we're going to say, Brother Branham, you're just saying this. No, we won't just say this. Now notice, he made himself known to Peter. And if you want to mark this down, if you want to read it, when we did read it, I'll quote it here. When they come from Mount Transfiguration, he said, who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some says, oh, they think you're Elijah. And some says you're one of the prophets, Jeremiah. Or something, but that wasn't what he asked. He said, who do you think that I am now? And there is the church he is talking to, see? What does man think I am? Today he's a philosopher, this social religion. He was a good man. We believe his teaching is right. It's a subject to be lived by. I think it's made us all better if we did. I think it would make us all better if we did. We ought to have our churches and so forth. That's a Santa Claus, like a Santa Claus story. It's not the expression of some church that we should be expressing something. It's a life that you don't live yourself, because he comes in you and lives by himself, and you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all, and you're led by the Spirit. He didn't take a chance. He said we are his workmanship. Think about how he predestinated and ordained you to be here in this day to fulfill the scriptures that he sent, and how he has made himself known to us. That as we sit here as a people that's hearing God's precious word, we could just be a haphazard people that's just, oh, it's another church night. I got to go make sure that they know that I'm at church so they don't preach on me being absent. But no, there's a people that raise up with a desire burning in their heart every day. Whether it's a church day or not, there's a burning in their heart. Lord, what is thy will for me today? Lord, what can you show me? What can I see? Show me, Lord, where to walk. Show me, Lord, how to stand. Show me what move to make, what step to take, Lord, that it would be pleasing to you. And then when it's a church day or Sunday or Thursday or Wednesday, whenever the church doors are open and you have the opportunity, you don't have to force yourself to go to church. There's something about it that it's, oh, today's the day. What do you have for me today, Lord, as we enter in and we sit underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Do we come with that attitude, or do we come, I already got it all, they ought to let me preach? That'd probably tell them a lot more than they know. See, it's how our attitude before God. He sees our hearts, but he's got a people that's of a broken and a contrite, humble spirit. That as they enter in, he has a way. He does the teaching. He does the leading. His holy word comes forth, and it just melts our hearts. It's got a way of just striking down in there. And it's got a way of God sent his mouthpiece to proclaim and to bring these great truths that's been hidden and been covered over and been lost in confusion. And today we don't have to have no confusion. We don't have to be wondering where we're standing. But God is revealing himself to us. And he's just laying it out there. And it's been revealed. And as we pray and cry out for revelation and reach out to him, he just keeps unveiling himself greater and greater. And as we hear the word, we become the word and become more like him every day. Oh my, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what a wonderful gift it was to see that God took a hold of the reins. Amen. To see that it's no more what I can do, how I can try to live this word. How do I do? No, it's not that no more. It's, Lord, here is my body. Let it be to me. Just as Mary said, Lord, let it be to me. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee. Oh, think about what he's done for you. He sent back that baptism of the fire and set you aflame. Oh, my, and set himself in order. And give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to bring these bodies subject to God's precious word. Here in the message. This is in the message, Who is this Melchizedek? On paragraph 68. This was preached in 65, February. He says, the difference between him and you as a son, see, he was at the beginning, the word in morphy body. He came in and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. And then later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that because in that form he knowed all things and you have never been able to know that yet. So you come like Adam, like me, and you became from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting, and that's where we go. That is the word. Then we can look back and see what we've done, and we don't understand it. We have never become the word. We've just become the flesh man, not the word. But look, clearly it makes it clear you will never be the word unless you was a thought at the beginning. And that proves the predestination of God. You can't be the word unless you were a thought. And you had to be in his thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in the flesh and be tempted by sin. And then if you stand, all the Father has given me. Amen. Just think of it. His grace. All the Father has given me will come to me, and I will raise him up in the last days. See, you had to be first. And then you see, he come right down the regular line from after you before the foundation of the world. And his name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. And then from that, he becomes the word, the theophany that could appear and disappear. And then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected the same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And he goes on, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, you have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. He that's born of God doth not commit sin, he cannot sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And how it ought to just stir our hearts if we can see that overcoming power that you can't do your, it's a life you can't live yourself, he said, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, but he comes in and lives it through you by himself. And think about that. When you can see that your body is coming subject to this precious word, when you see things go by, the overcoming taking place, and realizing that's something that you can't do in yourself, but it takes the Holy Spirit. And it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. See, it throws your body subject. And you don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, just get in Christ. It's all gone, see, because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They are dead. And your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit to try to live the right kind of life. And he goes on to say, like you women claiming you got the Holy Spirit wearing shorts and things, how could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it'll throw your whole being subject to the Spirit. The Spirit is nothing in the world, but the seed word made manifest or quickened. Hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, the body quickly turns to it. There's no question. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection that this body will be raised again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin, mire, and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. And now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. And oh, what that ought to cause our hearts to stir, to realize that this body has already started turning. And it ain't going to be but just a few short days by God's grace. He's going to finish this work that he started. He's going to finish revealing himself. That last one's going to catch the revelation of who he is and why he sent them. And why they're here and what their purpose is. And by God's grace, he's going to catch us away in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. You think about it, saints, how the parable Jesus gave of some that came and began and worked all day for a certain amount. Some came in the middle of the day and they agreed to work for the same amount. And some came at the very last hour and got the same reward. But oh my, what a privilege it is. Maybe we've been serving the Lord for 45 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever it's been. Maybe some of us has just only been at it 5 years. But it's worth it all to be his child. Amen. It's worth it all to see what he's got prepared for us as he reveals himself and shows us every day more and more. And he opens himself up and we see what he's done for us and where he's brought us from. Don't never forget and make sure that it's your hands that say, thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for the praise, the see that I was in your mind, that you thought of me, Lord. And by your mercy and grace, you're making yourself known to me as an individual. And oh, what a great honor and privilege it is, and how we ought to thank him every day. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Just a few short words, and boy, you could take a lot of messages out of there, I'm sure. But what a, just to put it into small, think of his grace and his mercy to you. Think of what he's done and where he's brought us from and where he's fixing to soon take us. Oh, it ought to make us shout. It ought to make us happy. It ought to give us joy for the journey. And every day, this life can't get depressing enough to drive us down. There's a joy burning in us, joy of our salvation shining forth from our faces. And we shouldn't let things drive us down. We shouldn't let nothing of this world's cosmos pull us down so far that we get despondent and discouraged. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look what he's done. Look where he's coming, saints, and soon to be. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me, I'd like to sing this little song before we dismiss on page 83 in the Only Believe book. Amen. Just listen to the words in this little course. It's singing it coming down the road and got to thinking about it. The lily of the valley. Amen. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, listen. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows bore. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me. Amen. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, listen. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his it will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Amen. Think about it. Then sweeping up to glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Oh, it ain't going to be long. But oh, what a cry ought to be in our hearts. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for that day. Oh, as we see the end so close and see what he's done for us and his great plan laying before us, how we should be crying out, Lord, reveal to me, give me eyes to have, as Paul prayed, that he would enlighten your understanding and give you revelation. Oh, my. May we truly be looking and loving his appearing and looking for that soon day. And what a joy it's going to be over there to think about it, to lay this life down. No more of this cosmos, no more of all this daily activity, rat race that takes place around us, and all the peace and the joy, and to see what God's got prepared for those that love him. I'm looking for that day. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Pray you were able to take something from God's precious word this evening. Stir our hearts and just continue to press on and pray that, Lord, what's next for me? What do you have? Reveal yourself to me, Lord. And all my, listen to God's precious word at every chance you can. Read it, study it, for it's talking about you. It don't mean much if you just read it and you can't see yourself. But oh, when you can open it up and realize, he's talking about me. That's wrote for me. That is me on that page. I see that he done it for me. Oh, it'll change your outlook on what God's done. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I just pray that your precious word will stir our hearts. Lord, I may not do it justice that it needs, but you know, Lord, that I believe you'll bless your word. As we put forth our feeble efforts, Lord, you will see that it gets where it needs to be. It'll help someone along the way, Lord. It's inspired. It's food. It feeds our souls. It is spirit and it is life, Lord. And oh, we see that by your mercy and grace, you've opened it up and made it real to us. That, Lord, from the beginning to the end, it's all you, and you've done it for me. You've done it for each one of us standing here as individuals that can truly see that by your grace, our names are written on the pages of that precious word. And, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing for us and just ask you to continue to open our hearts. And, Lord, we pray for those that may need a special touch from you, Lord, that maybe they're seeking you, Lord. Maybe they don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. Maybe they're looking for something in life, but they just can't seem to find it. But, Lord, you know, you said you wouldn't lose none of your own, and you're watching over them. And, Lord, if we can be of any service, of any help to someone along the way, Lord, lead us and guide us, each one, to that time or place that we might say the right thing, do the right thing, Lord, and maybe just say the right prayer or the right word to someone, Lord, that would be enough, that you would catch their attention and turn them, Lord, for what you would have for them. And, Lord, we just commit ourselves unto you and just ask you, Lord, to bring us back if you should tarry at the next appointed time, and may we come hungry asking you to speak to us. Bless those that may be sick or afflicted, Lord. Raise them up and touch their bodies. And Lord, just continue to let us yield ourselves unto you, and we'll never fail to see that you receive the praise for all of it, Lord, that you do, and all the glory that you bestow and the blessings that you share on us. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate it, and we ask it all now in the most lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus, "Isn't He Wonderful?" Amen.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't